Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five. Number one.
You are listening to a playoff edition of a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank, and it is a victory Monday. So we ask the question, who was the MVP of the Bears' 31-27 win over the Packers in the wild card round?
Okay, first of all, I was about to yell, it's Chicago!
Feel free.
Can't say the rest of it. Will not say the rest of it coming out of my mouth, but the battle cry is there. I'll leave that to the people who deserve to say it, but I like to say, it's Chicago, chick, or whatever you want to say. I say a word that rhymes with that afterwards.
This is Chicago.
That's Stacey King.
Stacey King says it well. So I'm getting hyped up again is the point. And just so you guys are aware, we're going to take your calls in our next segment because we need more calls. 312-644-6767. The MVP of the Bears 31-27 win over the Packers in the wild card round was one Caleb S. Williams. The end. You needed him to make incredible throws in order to win this game. He did things that defy all logic, physics, and frankly, my eyes. Because I still don't believe the Bears won that game, even though I know they did, but I don't know they did, if that makes any sense. He really did practically do the Air Jordan logo on 4th and 8 when he was wrapped up at the ankles and still made that prayer of a throw with accuracy to Roma Dunze. If we don't celebrate that throw for the rest of our days watching football, because who else in the damn league is making it? I'm not sure. It's one thing to have athletic ability. It's another thing to fix busted plays. But it's another thing to do it when the game is on the line on 4th and 8 with that kind of accuracy, trying to win your team's first playoff game in 15 years. Caleb S. Williams.
You know what? You're right. Caleb Williams was hands down the MVP of this game. I think he summed it up best in his post-game speech, where he talked about the regular season being the time where you make your money. And in the postseason, legacy, your name, everything. And with each playoff appearance, Caleb Williams is adding to his legacy because he has a chance now to win two playoff games. And what he did in the first one is great. I don't know that there's a better two interception game I can point to in terms of when you look at the fashion in which the interceptions were thrown. It's fine. People have been talking about that man's completion percentage since his head coach Ben Johnson brought up 70%. He only connected on half, 50% of his passes in this game. Who cares? Caleb Williams went out there, and when the job was at its toughest, when it was 4th and 8, the jump man throw, as you just described it, Caleb Williams delivered, and delivered in epic fashion. And then he threw it to DJ Moore, and then he said, defense, just please hold it down. They did, and now Caleb Williams is 1-0 in the playoffs, and he's 3-2 against the Packers.
You're right. We need to call it the jump man throw. That's what it was.
That was amazing. I mean, he was the MVP of the game, but I'm going to give a little love to Colston Loveland because we are all having the pleasure of seeing a guy develop into maybe a star before our very eyes. That guy, 8 catches, 137 yards, a 17.1 average per catch. He was targeted 15 times, a long of 29. That was on the 3rd and 7. He had a 17-yard play on that very same drive. Fourth quarter, he had the 21-yard catch leading to the DeAndre Swift touchdown that made it 21-16 at the time. I do know the person that's delivering the ball to him as well. So Caleb and Colston were just absolutely playing catch out there. I said this on the podcast, and I'll say it again. This is a superstar in the making. I don't know if we can call him that yet. Who knows what he does in the Rams game, but all look out going into next year. When we talk about Colston Loveland, look out.
Or just continue to pay attention. Since week 9, only one tight end has more receiving yards than Colston Loveland in the regular season. That would be Trey McBride. Not Tyler Warren. You know what Trey McBride was this year? First team all pro.
More like Bake McBride. First team all pro. Nice.
And another thing. Shout out to the all pros, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Tooney, Kevin Byard, Darnell Wrightgen, second team.
Who's that last guy?
Darnell.
Who drafted him?
Ryan Poles. He should be proud of that. I thought of that very same thing. I was like, oh, looky here. Hey. Second team all pro. He deserves it.
Polsey's put together a good offensive line. He's done it.
What about
he's
that defensive it. Line?
He has not put together a great defensive line. No, he is
hey,
not.
Hey, we don't have to worry about this contract situation for another couple of years. True and that, then it's yeah. going to be like, but he inherited a bad salary cap. You can also back yourself into one. Watch, don't worry about that right now.
Watch the Bears go to work on the defense in the offseason.
Number two.
After the Bears eliminated the Packers from the playoffs, that sounds really good, Coach Ben Johnson said this to the assembled media, which included our own Mark Grody.
There's probably a little bit more noise coming out of there, building up north to start the week, which we heard loud and clear, players and coaches alike. So this one meant something to us.
Bears coach Ben Johnson Saturday night after the Bears went over the Packers. Here's the question. Was talking all that trash the Packers' biggest mistake?
Okay, here's the thing. Logically, and I know nobody wants to bring up logic right now, not even myself. But logically, yes, it would make sense that you want to see the Bears another time because of what happened in the last game, where DJ Moore showed you, where Caleb Williams showed you, where on Saturday night you were able to win and get your get back like the Bears did. So then the series was even, was it not? We would call this a rubber match in baseball. What's up, Alex Bregman, new Cub?
Bears.
So naturally, the team who lost would want to see that team again and get another chance to face them. I don't think it's because the Packers thought the Bears were going to be an easier opponent. It just made sense. However, does it take a special coach to twist that into whatever crazy fuel you need in order to get that angry and still are that mad today, after beating them in order to fuel yourself to get the win? I'm not going to hate it. I'm not going to hate it at all. But you know what? The danger of talking publicly and telling everybody what your plan is you got to come through. And Jeff Hafley's like, oh, we played good for 59 minutes the last time against this team. And we played well the last time before that against this team. Well, did you? Because I saw a second half collapse if I've ever seen one. And Marshall's got a shirt on right now that has the biggest collapse in NFL history.
Bills over the Houston Oilers. Y'all remember Frank Reich before he was the head coach?
Dirty Frank.
No Jim Kelly available. No problem. Came back from a 35-3 third quarter. I was sitting on my grandma's carpet watching this game.
And I told you the Bills would win yesterday, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were kind of... And I told you the Chargers were weird, did I not?
You did. They imploded.
I said they were weird and unpredictable.
You are so right, Layla. I picked the Chargers to win that game, but they are... What were your words again? Unpredictable and...
Weird.
Weird. Thank you.
Also, they have a bad offensive line. I'm sorry. They just do it.
Yeah, they were unimpressive.
So two things about what happened and what was said before the game, the trash talk. It's okay to be... I want to get my get back because we lost the last game. We want to win the next game. That's where they should have stopped talking. Because when Jeff Hafley had his midweek press conference and ended the press conference with this quote, this is when I knew there was going to be trouble. Quote, we are not going to be done, so I will see you guys next week. That is what they call bulletin board material because you're saying, I guarantee a win. Oh, on top of that, Keyshawn Nixon was also talking. And I get it.
Oh, yeah.
He was involved
Bears
in the...
Bears public enemy number one, who had a personal foul, did he not, friends?
He did.
But forget about the personal foul. Did you see what happened on DeAndre Swift's touchdown run? He was running towards the goal line. There was one man in his way. His name was Keyshawn Nixon. Mm-hmm. He said, let me go ahead and olay this and make a business decision. And he got right up out the way. And that is why Keyshawn Nixon cannot be taken seriously from this point going forward.
I agree with that, and I do understand the spirit of this question. Was the talking all that trash the Packers' biggest mistake? I love the trash talking. I don't even like putting it out in the atmosphere that they shouldn't be doing the trash talking because I think it is an essential part of we're going to call this the best rivalry in sports, which we often utter here. The trash talking is a must. It's come from the Bears side a lot. Jaquan Brisker famously trash talking after a bad loss to the Packers
two years ago. Keep that same energy, Jaquan.
Oh, my goodness.
Keep it.
Right. So it's not always going to look good. It's not. It's going to backfire on you from time to time. So you know what? I will say no. That was not their biggest mistake this week, because I would like to continue to encourage this sort of talk, this sort of repartee between the two franchises.
Witty banter, if
Witty
you will.
Banter, if you will.
This is the pot-stirring Grody I know and love. And oh, by the way,
thank you.
Jaquan Brisker, didn't he after the game say, I've been telling you guys? And I was like, by God, he has been telling people.
Brisker will be inside the locker room when I do the inside the locker room segment. I got a little something-something from Brisker.
Man, this 125 is going to be explosive.
Look out.
This 125 is going to upset people all over again.
I think so.
Five on it. Number three.
You're listening to 5 on it on 670 The Score with Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody, and you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. Fill in the blank time. Saturday was the best sports day in Chicago since?
Mark Grody, you know what day.
Give it to me. Was it 2016?
November 2nd, mm-hmm. I believe.
That's a pretty good day.
I believe.
It's a good day.
That's the thing. Like, you can't, unless a championship is involved, you can't say that it's the best day superseding a championship being won. So, for me, I think it's got to be the best day since November 2nd, 2016. Because I don't know what to say. I know Jed Hoyer is in on the bit. Like, he's pretty good at running with something if it's funny. Like, he's good at picking up a joke and kind of carrying it. So, does Jed Hoyer know he's getting some credit for the Bears comeback? Does he know that? He should.
It may have circulated to him by now.
And frankly, Jed Hoyer should take credit for partially helping the Bears come back. I feel like that's what I would do if I were a GM who made a big deal to get Alex Bregman, the player that I talked about the most. I was like, hey, they could really use this guy, but that's not going to happen, right? There's no way.
Heard he hits lefties. Heart-throwing your lefties.
What a concept. Not just that.
But doesn't strike out a lot either.
Then you add to the fact that your Cooper Flagg matchup that you wanted to see with Modis and Cooper Flagg.
Modis looked better.
The Bulls scored 125 points in that win. And the Hawks got a shutout. The Hawks won 3-0. So, yeah, I'm going to say November 2nd, 2016.
I'm going to go further back, and here's why. Initially, that was the first date that came to mind, but I'm sorry. There were people who were miserable about that. A certain segment of the Chicago was not happy with what happened on November 2nd because they cheer for the other team in town, the White Sox.
2016 was a weird year for the Sox.
Listen, Sox have had a lot of weird years. How about that? I'm going to go back to January 26, 1986. I'm going back to that because that's the time when everybody was on the same page. Everybody was on the same page. A Super Bowl win for the Chicago Bears. Because as you mentioned, you named all those teams. And while the White Sox didn't have anything really go their way on Saturday night, they didn't have any big free agent signing.
They got Mune.
They do.
No, I'm happy about that. I thought that was a good, it was a good call by them.
I think that they weren't as upset, some of them, about the Cubs being able to celebrate a World Series title. So I think it's that date.
So I took the spirit of the question maybe a little bit differently, that
go
there
ahead.
Were multiple good things going on. I'm thinking Chicago sports days where multiple big things were going on. So I'll go back a little bit. I'll bring it recent for everybody. Don't worry. A huge one. This is not good, not happy. Cubs lose to, in 84, they lose to San Diego, which was just a devastating series. On the same day, though, like the Cubs are in the playoffs, which is a huge, they hadn't been in the playoffs for 39 years up until that 1984 time. Same day as that, people forget this. Walter Payton breaks Jim Brown's rushing record on the same day. 1993, Jordan retires, and the White Sox have a playoff game against Toronto, and the Cubs fired their manager as well. There was 2002, the Bears hosted the Eagles in a playoff game. That was the same day Michael Jordan came back as a wizard.
These are big days.
Those were huge. So that's where my brain went. And then I will give this. This is credit to, we all know him, we all love him, Chris Kampka. We all love Chris
Kampka,
right?
Kampka.
He's at Marquee still?
Yes.
Is that right?
and in our hearts.
He says, prior to last night, the last time the Bulls, Blackhawks, and Bears all won on the same day was December 26, 2010. Bulls a 95-92 win at the Pistons in overtime. Blackhawks over the Blue Jackets 4-1. Bears beat the Jets 38-34. So there is
the
my
fact
answer.
That it's been 16 years since all three teams just won on the same day is kind of crazy.
Cray.
Are you kidding? It's more than kind of.
Like, yeah, it's bad.
This needed to happen a long time ago.
And you guys are right. Like, 2016, massive. 85, 86, technically, Super Bowl, massive. But I was going with the multiple sports
That's
happening.
That's some really good research, Addy.
Yeah,
wrote.
Yeah. That, well, like, when
as
I
much
saw
as
that,
you stir
I
was, the pot, you also research.
Well, you sent the text, and I was like, oh, I got to see.
There we go. Damn, I just went with the emotional angle is all.
Bears.
Adam Schefter dropped this report on ESPN on Sunday morning.
Well, the Packers' former president back in the day was a man by the name of Bob Harlan. Bob Harlan's son, Brian Harlan, represents John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh is a Midwestern guy who has a home in the Upper Peninsula. And a lot of people around the league have been wondering, if the Packers decide to go in a different direction, if all of a sudden the Green Bay Packers might vault to the top of John Harbaugh's list as the top available choice for him.
It's Adam Schefter on ESPN. On a scale of 1 to 10 on the worry meter, trademark, how concerned are you about what a potential union between John Harbaugh and the Packers could do to the NFC North landscape?
Somebody's busting an artery. Out of the two head coaches, one of them busts an artery. I know John's more calm and collected than his brother, but the intensity, to quote Norm Van Leer, will be ratcheted up to, like, I don't know, 20 out of 10. Worry meter doesn't worry me as much because of what we just saw happen with the Ravens. For whatever reason, that relationship decayed. Disintegrated isn't the right word.
Came to a natural conclusion, a natural stopping point, if you will.
That's good PR out of you. You have multiple skill sets.
Well, I just think this ain't going well. He's not going well. It's not working anymore.
The relationship is a separate entity from two people. It's something you have together. But that said, my worry meter isn't high. But what really bothers me here, what's really up my craw, is that as I continue to troll Wisconsin today, and I like it up there. When I've been there, it seems fun and interesting.
It's
and
a beautiful
stuff.
State.
I've even slid down Bernie Brewer's slide twice. I will say this. The hell are y'all doing up there? You know, I should have known. Well, there's an entire piece of land that you guys won't even annex. And I don't care if there's some agreement in place. You aren't even aggressive enough to take that. I never thought the Upper Peninsula would be included in this discussion or any other decision of consequence. So, I don't know what you guys are doing up there. Ma the meatloaf. But for some reason, that also, that triggered me today. I was like, and that stupid Upper Peninsula. It shouldn't even be an Upper Peninsula. It should be part of your state.
Somebody check and see if John Harbaugh's got a...
Did you give that away in the second half of a playoff game, too?
If John Harbaugh's got real estate in Greenland as well, because, you know.
There's rare earth minerals there. That's my only take.
There are. My worry meter, I'm going to put it as 6. He hasn't done anything lately to be of concern. Matt LaFleur is doing a pretty good job of keeping things tight. If you look at how the last 5 games during the Caleb Williams era have gone for Packers Bears, it always comes down to the very bitter end. So it's just a 6 right now. It's a little concerned, but I'm not overly worried.
You should still be more worried about the combination of Dan Campbell and Mike McDaniel.
The whole Bob Harlan thing to me is a stretch. Like the idea that Bob, I was just looking on Wikipedia, Bob Harlan has not been with the organization since 08, and I think even in 08, he didn't really have a lot of power at the time. So it's been a long time. There's nobody in that building that knows Bob Harlan at this point. So I get what people are trying to do. I think it's a stretch. People are trying a little bit too hard. But in the spirit of the question, if John Harbaugh is to be hired by the Green Bay Packers, yeah, 5.5. I'm just not. Like, I'm so happy with the direction of the Bears that Green Bay doesn't scare me as much as they used to when they make their moves. And I get it. Like, when they got Micah Parsons, like, that's the kind of stuff. You want to worry me, meter? It's players like that that I get concerned.
Max Crosby to the Packers?
That kind of stuff.
Then
you can check me.
No.
Take it back.
Yeah, seriously, don't even put that out there.
You just did.
Yeah.
Five on it. Number five.
Five on it on 670 The Score. And hey, we have some massive Chicago baseball news that happened over the weekend. The Cubs and free agent third baseman Alex Bregman have reportedly reached an agreement on a five-year, $175 million contract. What's your reaction to this big move by President of Baseball Operations Jed Hoyer and company?
This is what I wanted. I don't know how to feel when I get things I want. That's it. That's it.
It's good.
I don't know how to feel about, like, I don't know how to act and cover baseball at the same time as the Bears winning in the playoffs, because that's not something I've dealt with in my time here. 10 out of 15 years. I can't believe they got Alex Bregman. And for everybody who says, oh, he's not as good as he was. He's a 125 weighted runs created plus. 125 WRC plus. That will raise the offensive profile of who is currently on this Cubs team, okay? That is a net positive. And the Cubs did something modern. They decided to defer money, which is something that they hadn't previously done before. Men changed their behavior. The organization decided to do something different contractually. They fixed a mistake by not getting Bregman previously.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say anymore.
I know what to say. The shape of their offense certainly looks different now. And you could talk about totality of the offense that was fifth in the league in runs last year all you want. All I know is it looks totally better now. It looks totally better now.
And I will add to your statistic, Layla, an 821 OPS, 18 homers. I will take that from the third base position as well. It puts everybody bet. We don't have to worry about Matt Shaw. And like, it just puts everybody in the proper perspective. And I will say this, sitting next to David Haw and Chris Emma, when this news came out, of course, the press box, like, there was definitely a rumble of people talking about it. I thought David Haw and Chris Emma were going to leave the press box and do an immediate podcast at that moment on Bregman.
Only other thing I'll say is, you better not trade Nico Horner. That's it.
Okay.
That's all.
Don't trade Nico. We have more Cubs talk coming up at 12:45. In the meantime, we had wonderful calls at 10:45, and we think that you should get your damn flowers today, okay? Like, go troll the Packers.
Where's our chicken?
Go ask. Yeah, we get Rinaldi's victory chicken today. The better question becomes, what swole chicken trophy on the poster are we going to get? They send us these really cute flyers, and we always show them to you. But in the meantime, give us a call. This is your time. This is your time to celebrate this fantastic day, which is really pretty outside, too. 312-644-6767. Rahimi Harrison Grody on The Score.
Rahimi Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Talked about, like, between you and LaFleur, you know, the two wins things, the handshakes, beyond, you know, getting this important playoff win, why is this important to you, or is there something personal beyond that?
This is a rivalry, and City of Chicago, Green Bay, it needs to be a rivalry.
That's Ben Johnson and Phil Thompson from the Chicago Tribune talking about the Green Bay rivalry. And once again, Phil just getting the best answers from the man who brought you.
Let's be clear.
I thought about that all weekend.
What do you tell the young kids?
Because he hadn't been in a playoff game either. DJ Moore.
I mean, it was the right answer.
It absolutely was. We are taking your phone calls in this segment because, by God, you deserve it. 312-644-6767. Your man from D.C. I believe this is Anthony is on the phone.
Anthony!
Yo, what's up, squad? What's up, squad? What's up, squad? What's going on?
The Bears, they're up.
You know what's going on.
Bears.
Man, hey, listen. We feel good, Brody. That was a good birthday present. It wasn't a birthday, boy.
Thank you.
But seriously. I just really called in because, like, DeAndre Swift, obviously, other than Caleb, the defense and the offensive line, they played, like, crazy in the second half. But other than them, DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manunga, man, they've been pivotal in wins like that. They need a game ball. And Ozzie Trapillo, in that drive that we had momentum to score, he rushed off the field, and it was almost like Benedict transported, like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I don't know what was, it was almost like it was expected, like, they were on it. The energy of the squad is on it to want to win. But I will say this, I don't want this experience and feeling to stop. And Josh Allen, one thing I noticed with winning teams is that Josh Allen, when he won that game against the Jags, it was like, it was almost like, yeah, we won, but I got to go do this again. So as good as this feels, we got to worry about that cyborg they call Puka Nacua next week.
Mm. Well,
have a good day, guys.
Yeah, I think Stafford is sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber or something, too, so I'm with you.
Man, what?
Have
a good day.
You too, Anthony. You too, Anthony. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, have you seen the red light therapy bed that Matt Stafford has? Can't argue with the results, man.
I've seen a lot of civilians using that too. The infrared, the red light therapy, and
civilians.
No, like, you know, because athletes, we're just civilians out here.
We are. That's all we are.
That is a savage quote, and if you knew the backstory, woo! Mark from Morton Grove, you're on Raheem Harrison Grody on the Score.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I just wanted to tell you, if anybody out there, if you want to amuse the living hell out of yourself, I have SiriusXM, so I was listening to ESPN Wisconsin.
With what?
These people, we have ruined their lives, man. They are obsessed. They want to kill us and kill themselves. They certainly want to fire Matt LaFleur. That's clear. But, oh, my God, every scenario you could build up in terms of some kind of scam against Green Bay and how it was just all they didn't lose or they we didn't beat them. They lost the game. They gave the game away. They oh, my God, these people, they are cooked. I hope it spills over to the Brewers.
Mark, thank you for your call. Yeah, we debated whether or not to talk about them and their props and all the shtick that they're doing. I don't know how much oxygen to give it because it's not authentic and it's not entertaining. So I'm not sure what it is.
It's also like someone stole their belts and used them on them.
Well, and like one guy's got an obvious conflict of interest in his bio. So like, I don't know what to do about all that, but I'm glad you got some entertainment out of it. Let's go to Frank in Oak Park. Frank, after a Bears playoff win, this is a first for me and you.
Yes, it is. It was a long time ago, 15 years, the last win. So I was so pumped up after the win that it was tough to sleep. I turned on the first John Wick movie off of HBO. I was still awake and caught the game replay they ran on NFL Network at about 5:30 Sunday morning. And that comment from Caleb where he said, "We heard they wanted us. They got us." That was football Charles Bronson. Magnificent. On defense, it was another game where Allen held together that ragged bunch with electrical tape and baling wire. I did notice that once they had to slip Jackson in at inside linebacker after Edwards got hurt, the run defense got stout. Not sure how big it was that the Packers were without their starting right tackle. But the Bears got a grand total of one sack, and for big stretches, it looked like Bears DBs were still nursing injuries. Let's hope that finger-hand issue Stafford has is particularly sensitive to the extreme cold, likely part of next Sunday's game. A couple of duck passes might be the equalizer for a dangerous Rams receiving corps. On offense, this fourth quarter comeback Caleb engineered set a record for a Bears playoff game, and Williams still got 352 net yards passing with the Pack holding the run game under the century mark. Loveland has now thoroughly justified the Bear front office that took him top 10. Looking towards next week, it'll be interesting to see how much the loss of Trapillo forces extra manpower to be devoted to Benedet on pass plays. And I looked this up. The Rams have three guys who cranked out 7, 7.5, and 12 sacks on the front seven on a squad that generated 47 total. So the threat is there. I hope the Bears have one more week of magic. I'd like my sleep upset for at least one more time.
Attaboy, Frank.
And I hope that was the John Wick's one where he kills everybody.
That's every John Wick movie.
Oh, yeah, that's every one.
Right. I was thinking when he said John Wick, I think he said the first one, and that's when they take his dog. Ooh. And it's like somebody came and took Ben Johnson's dog, because that's how he's been acting ever since.
Really kind of was, actually. Good call on that. Let's go to Tony and Joliet. Tony, you're on Raheemy Harris and Grody.
Hey, guys, friends. Oh, my God, Layla Marshall. Grody!
Stop!
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I've never seen anything like it. Literally, I had friends at my house. I bought Apple Crown, so we were going to do shots after the game to celebrate. The first half was so bad. It was like every time Jordan Love touched the ball, how far is he going to throw it? And then halftime, I was like, all right, it's over. Let's break out the shots. Let's just reflect on the season. And if one of my friends would have said to me, you know, Tony, I think Caleb's going to be great in cheese at the end of this game, I would have been like, okay, they went to an Italian restaurant. There's no way. And then all of a sudden, it starts happening. And it starts happening, and Caleb starts doing Caleb. And, I mean, come on, 25 points in the fourth quarter, that is unheard of. The whole thing with this team, man, it's like the belief, and then the locker room afterwards, and Grody, the fact that you're part of that is so awesome. This is something special. This is Michael Jordan time. And Caleb handles the moment. They understand the moment. And, man, who knows how far this is going to go. And I just want to say one thing to Dave, who called earlier, man. This is a beautiful thing about the score, that we're all a family. We might never have dinner together. We don't have to. We celebrate Chicago sports, and we got Bregman coming. We got this team going for the next years to come. I mean, we're going to be KC and Green Bay. Sorry, I said last week, you're going to be on suicide watch. And I've listened to all the comments from their fans, man. They're like, they can't believe it. Your time is done. Our time is starting. It's amazing time to be in Chicago. And the fact that we get a voice and we can all come together on a day like this, it's awesome. I love you guys. Thanks for taking my call. Let's freaking go.
Let us rejoice and be glad. Also, we should give them some pointers, you know, everybody over there. We know how it feels.
We
can tell you that you can come out on the other side. Even when you're down 21-3 at the half, there is hope for you.
It does feel like a new day, right? Because this game gave me angst going into it, because I was worried about how the city would react if they lost the game. I'm not even thinking about that until people were bringing up the Packers fans. I was like, oh yeah, that could have been everyone around me.
Yeah, and look, it's going to be awkward for a while for Green Bay. Like I said, change is hard, and you've had so much success for so long. I understand it's going to be hard to let it go. You've had the upper hand. You have been winners, and now it's over.
That medication you were offering Patrick Manley, yeah, they might need some
Lex,
of that.
I'll send some Lexapro.
You know
it did wonders for
you
me.
You know what I like to do whenever sports frustrates me? I just go outside and enjoy the city of Chicago that I live in.
Huh. That's a good point, too.
Yeah, I'm not Wisconsin bashing. I think it's a nice state. I really do.
I want to go to Door County at some point.
Yeah, that's where Emma hangs out.
I've hammered nails into a tree stump in Milwaukee.
That's
at a bar.
Pretty cool.
And actually, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I have no problem. I have zero problem with the state of Wisconsin or any of the cities or anything like that. I want to be there for their fans because of what they're about to go through for the next 2 decades.
We know how it
two
goes.
Decades.
Two decades.
It's tough. It's tough, man. I feel for Pat. That's why I say, you guys want to call? We're here. We will give you verbal hugs. We'll explain to you what it's like.
We also know what it's like to say, lose an NLDS or an NLCS on occasion.
Well, that's next
Not
year.
Not next year, though.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you got Bregman, too, by the way.
One person who can help us with that may just be the man walking through that tunnel. Cubs convention just got a lot more interesting. Let's discuss Alex Bregman coming to Chicago next.
Raheemy Harris and Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bregman 231, looking for that first Red Sox home run. High fly ball left field. Carlson back it up, and see you later. There it is. Bregman is first in a Red Sox uniform. 2-0 Sox.
That is courtesy of NESN, the New England Sports Network, which is no longer the home network of Alex Bregman. This is Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. We'll get to more Bears talk here with Dan Weider at 1. But in the meantime, This is something that breaks through, even on a day where the Bears, we are observing their first playoff win in 15 years, because this would lead other shows. And during the game, we find out when the Bears were down 21-6 at that point, signs of life were starting to take place. And then Jed Hoyer just pushes them on through. We all get the news. Alex Bregman and the Chicago Cubs in an agreement on a five-year, what is reported, a five-year $175 million contract. So just in case we're keeping score, the score, we did not go over the $200 million threshold. But for the Cubs to be able to pull that off, to actually sign Alex Bregman, defer money, which they had not wanted to do as an organization since Jason Hayward and John Lester, to be able to refurbish the offense after we all understand that Kyle Tucker, especially now, is not walking through that door. They had to do something once they decided to give up Owen Casey and the Edward Cabrera deal. This is massive news, and frankly, something that I did not think was actually going to happen.
It's something I thought could happen, but I was unsure whether or not they would get outbid again, and to find out that they offered more money, AAV, than the Red Sox did, who already had him in-house, it was interesting. Also, you mentioned the deferment, the $70 million deferred. I think at some point, and I've been asking for a couple of years now, hey, understand how other teams are doing business and getting their stars. It's not just about Shohei Ohtani, but he should have been the signal, the smoke, if you will, that this is how you're going to get good players to stay with you for the future and pay them what they're worth, and understand you're going to have to defer money. That's the way, if you're going to operate where you don't want to go into the luxury tax, you're going to have to make this deferral, if you will, like overall.
I'm just glad, Layla, that with the Edward Cabrera signing and now the Alex Bregman signing, I could stop using Tyler Austin as my headliner when I discuss the Cubs free agent moves. I could stop talking about Hobie Milner. I could stop discussing, hey, Caleb Thielbar is back. Hey, Phil, I did not want the offseason to be about that, or at least making us sweat it out until it got closer. I'm so happy because these baseball signings seem to happen later and later and later. The Cubs jumped in. They got it right. They righted a wrong with this five-year $175 million deal.
And for everybody who's been skeptical, and we got a lot of replies, I think, over the weekend about, oh, check his numbers and this and that. Check his numbers. Diminished Alex Bregman stats, given the Cubs' current state of the offense minus Kyle Tucker, is still a massive net positive. When you consider his spray chart and how he can hit to all fields, how he can lengthen a lineup, for example, that is a huge positive for this team. We've talked about the crater that is offense at third base for not just the Cubs at one point. I think Matt Shaw getting regular reps has helped his case, as we've seen and saw last season. But overall, just knowing that that is such an offensively deficient part of the field for so many teams in baseball, this is huge. This is absolutely huge. And the 125 weighted runs created plus and the OPS still being above 800,
yeah,
all of that plays. It is okay to celebrate this because it was something that I just frankly didn't think was going to occur. When the Ken Rosenthal report came out on foul territory, where he said the Cubs aren't even close to being done, and that was prior to them trading for Edward Cabrera, I had a healthy amount of skepticism.
Same.
I was probably at the 21-6 portion of the game in free agency, thinking, yeah, okay, Ken, I was wrong. I was so wrong.
Okay, Ken.
I was happy to be wrong.
Yeah, Ken?
I felt like they were going to get one of those four big free agents that are out there. I just thought it was going to be by process of elimination, they'd come in at the end and scoop, whether it was like Cody Bellinger. I thought Bichette would go before Bregman, but we see how that played out. I'm pleased for the Cubs and the city of Chicago in that you're giving yourself a legitimate chance pre-work stoppage to make a run at a World Series title. They're not the favorites or anything. The Dodgers do exist. They are, of course, a dynasty to be reckoned with.
The Blue Jays have made a lot of moves.
I'm just saying even getting to the World Series.
Yeah. Fair enough. Sorry.
But to make a run at it, they can make a more legitimate run than what we saw now when you look at the depth of their pitching staff, the addition of Bregman, and also this idea, as long as they don't trade Nico Horner, this idea that they still have maybe a chance to even tweak and add a little bit more between now and, say, the trade deadline.
See, here's where the bar is at for the Cubs now. Like if Jed Hoyer or Tom Ricketts comes on stage and they say, we're not trading Nico, place is going to go bananas.
Yeah.
Like you're so used to something else having to go because someone else is here. Now the infield has gotten crowded.
Yeah.
We know that it's because we all assume Michael Bush is the everyday first baseman. I don't think it's going to be a platoon.
No, I think that's fair based on how he looked back end of the season facing lefties specifically.
And the other part of this is I'm not sure that Matt Shaw has established himself enough offensively to be the consistent DH. A lot of people think that's Moises Ballesteros.
Look, there's still a place for Matt Shaw. Like I love the idea of him continuing to develop. We know what a weird year he had last year, but I still think that he's going to end up being a good player. It's perfect. Like if he's just depth for your team, if he's coming off the bench, or as Layla said, like if he's just DHing, that's great. Great. Let him learn under Alex Bregman, and then eventually maybe Matt Shaw can be your starter there too. The other thing I don't underestimate too, and that I value, like I look at as real, is the fact that this guy's a winner. Alex Bregman has won, and I know we all hate, we're all skeptical of the Houston Astros and all of that. He's won two World Series.
Go back to his college career. He's a winner.
Yeah.
Oh, at LSU.
Yeah. Oh.
So, yeah, LSU. He was part of a world beater of an LSU team as well.
Yeah. So he brings that. I mean, the impact that he's probably going to have on that clubhouse, my guess is going to be immense without even really knowing Alex Bregman.
I wonder how Dansby Swanson feels being teamed up now with the guy that was taken ahead of him in the MLB draft.
Oh.
You know, that happens on teams more often than you think at times because they have a dream infield in mind or they have a dream of how they want this to look.
Yeah.
And I feel like that does occur more often than we probably think about it. But the names are so big. The beautiful part of this is that Dansby's so successful and that Alex Bregman is so successful.
I think
that we get to talk about it like this.
I think Bregman wears the number two because it's a reminder that he was taken number two and not number one like Dansby was. So I look forward to this. I really do. Just don't mess it up. Don't trade Nico Horner. I've already said that on the show. Doesn't matter.
Unless
don't
you get trade blown Nico away. Horner. Unless you get blown away. Let's not get too attached here now. I love Nico. The station loves Nico. We all love Nico. But if you get something that really can help your team,
you'd have to get major league ready talent.
Okay. Like, you don't think you could get that for Nico Horner? He's pretty good.
He was arguably your best player last year.
So then shouldn't you get major league talent in return for Nico Horner? Probably.
I got to see what that looks like.
So Grody's not sold, but I tend to side on the Marshall side of it.
I want Nico to be here. I love Nico, but I'm just saying, like, you can't not listen.
You're addressing it like a major league GM.
Yes, I am.
That's
unemotionally. That's why I picked the Packers to win this game. I try to be unemotional about
things. I emotionally
picked
the Bears.
I know. A lot of people.
Unemotional. Are you unemotional? Right.
In that case, I wasn't. A lot of people picked the Bears just because they didn't want to pick the Packers. Trust me.
And now he believes that Caleb Williams is the franchise quarterback for the next 10 years.
Whoa.
All of these topics are probably things we shouldn't address with a minute to go in our segment.
Take the break, Layla.
Just saying.
Grenade.
Bring my guy in, will you? Bring my guy in.
Dan Wiederer, who Mark hasn't hosted the Take the North podcast with yet because it was a late night. So you're getting a Take the North podcast preview next on this Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by BC Bank here on Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. TTN.